Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Welcome to our program. Today we continue our series on healing. Yes, God does still do miracles today, including healing. No, this is not a guarantee that every time you pray for a miracle, it's going to happen. However, there are certain patterns and procedures that we see in Scripture, and that is what we will key in on today. Who can heal? I'm not talking about the one recovering from the healing. I'm talking about the one God is using. Who does God use as the courier to harness this unique ministry? Maybe laying hands on somebody, maybe praying for them without laying hands on them. Who can heal? Well, we're given some examples in Scripture. Elders of a church. Now, an elder and a pastor, they're basically terms that are used interchangeably in Scripture. So the pastors of a church, James chapter 5, starting with verse 14, says the following. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the context is so important here. This was concerned with sickness brought on due to sins. We already talked about that on a previous program. This is one type of sickness and one type of healing. So let me say this as carefully as I can. If somebody is sick because they have sinned, and if that is the exact reason, if that is the only reason, if that has been determined through some type of prophecy or their own prayer with the Lord or something that the elders determined praying together, if it has been established that this person is sick due to sins, and as I already mentioned before, that's obvious. You know if you've sinned or not. If the only reason you're sick is because you've sinned, then if you confess, the sickness will go away. In that case, it's guaranteed. But oh, my friends, you have to be so careful. Don't assume that just because somebody is sick, they've sinned. That's a spiritual judgment that is not yours to make. They must come to that conclusion themselves. One type of sickness, one type of healing. Now, as for the oil, oil was a cultural symbol for setting people apart for some kind of ministry or blessing. I already mentioned that there were times people laid hands on others for the sake of healing. We see that a lot throughout the book of Acts, the apostles laying hands on people. The laying on of hands, the using of oil, cultural expressions, they're great expressions. You can still do them. They are not mandated. They are not necessary. We don't have to use oil. We can separate the cultural expression from the heart of the ministry. So that's one office in the church, those who are pastors, those who are elders that God has given the authority to heal. There are also individuals who are called into special healing ministries, whether or not they happen to be elders. That is listed, healers, as a spiritual gift in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So here's a great question. Can one who's been given the consistent gift of healing heal a person every time? Obviously, I don't mean through their own effort, the Holy Spirit working through them, God doing it, but it's the spiritual gift God has given them. Can one, with the consistent gift of healing, heal every time? Once again, let me phrase this just as carefully as I can because there's been so much confusion about this stuff. On the assumption that one is using this gift in obedience to the Spirit's leading, yes. In other words, whenever the gift is properly used, it is properly effective. Unfortunately, it is often improperly used. Here are the guidelines. First, the faith of both parties, the healer and the healee, I guess you could say, the healer and the one being healed. In Matthew chapter 17, there was an epileptic who was not healed. Disciples of Jesus were trying to heal this guy. He was not healed, and Jesus said it was because of their lack of faith. Not the lack of faith of the guy they were trying to heal, the lack of faith of the disciples themselves. Now, I don't want to exaggerate the notion of faith as though our faith were some actual guarantee. That's what the whole name it, claim it movement does. We've already talked about this. They offer healing as a guarantee so long as you have the faith. And if you don't have the faith, it was your fault. It was your problem, never their problem. When God does choose to heal by honoring faith, he honors even the weakest amount. I told the story about a woman who came out of her chair. A very shy woman came forward. Essentially, she was told to claim it by faith, and that if she didn't get healed, she didn't have enough faith. Once again, that woman had at least enough faith to get out of her chair and walk forward. How much faith do we need? Do we need some? Yes. How much? The weakest, smallest amount. Luke chapter 17, Jesus speaking. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea. The point here is the smallest amount of faith is enough faith. And here's a great example of this same concept. Jesus accepting whatever faith we have. I'm reading from Mark chapter 9, starting with verse 20. When the spirit saw Jesus, they're talking here about a demonic spirit that's causing all kinds of havoc in somebody's body. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled over, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." Some translations say, "I believe, help me in my unbelief." I love that. I love that. "I believe, help me in my unbelief." See, even when you're struggling with your belief, the very fact that you're willing to even struggle, it's enough. It's the faith of a grain of mustard seed. And what did Jesus say to him? "Sorry, dude, I'm taking out a measuring stick here, and whoa, your faith just didn't measure up." No, that's not what he says. Move on to verse 25. When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter again." And the boy was healed and he was delivered from the demonic. How much faith did the father need for that to happen? "I believe, help me in my unbelief." Sounds kind of like the faith of a grain of mustard seed. So, provision so far when healing is being genuinely and biblically administered, the faith of both parties, the faith of the one being healed, the faith of the one praying for the healing. But there is another proviso, and I can't overstress this one, the will of God. We're supposed to be asking God what he plans to do, what he intends to do. Once God has said, "This is my intention," yes, he wants us to have the faith and believe him. But that's not the same as deciding what the will of God is before even asking him. Abraham is referred to often in the scripture as a man of great faith because he believed God when God promised him a son against tremendous odds. It would take a miracle for that son to be born. Abraham's faith was based on a reaction to what God had told him. His wife was beyond the age of bearing children, yet God spoke to Abraham to tell him that she would bear a son despite her many years. We read about this back in Genesis 18. Abraham did believe God with great faith. However, and this is so important, it was God's idea, not Abraham's. Abraham did not merely name it and claim it. Certainly, he may have asked God for a son at various times in his life. I'm sure he did. I'm sure he did often. But that is not the same as saying to himself, even though Sarah is unable to have a son, I think I'll just name a son and claim a son. No, my friends, that's not how the story goes. God spoke to Abraham. God appeared to Abraham. It was God's idea. God told him. God promised it. After God gave the promise, Abraham believed him. And so it is with modern healing. If God speaks to the person who is sick, or perhaps speaks to the one called into a healing ministry, or speaks to one of the elders and actually tells them that he intends to heal, then of course God wants us to believe him and put our faith in his promise. But we do not claim promises God never actually gave. This is not the story of Aladdin and his magic lamp and a genie granting three wishes. It's God who will do what he decides to do. After he shares with you what he intends to do, yes, he wants you to have faith. How much faith? I believe. Help me in my unbelief. Just that amount is enough. Now, up to now, we've been talking about God healing a person through another person, through an elder or somebody called to a healing ministry. Here's a question. Can one be healed by praying themselves for healing, apart from the interaction of any elder or healer? Yes, because we cannot put God in a box. He may do anything he likes, and even if he generally ministers one particular way through one particular type of structure, he does like to help people through other people. There are always exceptions. King Hezekiah was ill and actually told through the prophet Isaiah that he would soon die. After Isaiah left, Hezekiah, all on his own, asked God to change his mind and heal him. I'm reading from 2 Kings chapter 20. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him and said, "This is what the Lord says, put your house in order because you are going to die. You will not recover." Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Now notice he's not asking Isaiah to pray over him. We get the impression that Isaiah has left by now. More on that in a moment. But Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and says to the Lord, "Remember, O Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Before Isaiah had left the middle court, this is why we assume Isaiah had left by this time. Before Isaiah had left the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him. "Go back and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord. I will add 15 days to your life." Isn't this interesting? Now, here's a case where God had not promised healing to Hezekiah. God had actually said he was going to die. Hezekiah, on his own, entreated the Lord, begged for mercy. However, it was understood that God was going to do what he was going to do. So God doesn't have to promise healing before we pray, and we don't have to go to a faith healer or a prophet or an elder. We can just ask God. But if you're asking God, if it's your idea to ask God, God has not given a promise. Yes, God invites us to pray to him, but in that case, he's going to do what he's going to do. It's only when he's already promised something that he wants us to believe what he's promised. The point, my friends, don't claim a promise that God hasn't given. But even if God hasn't promised anything, you can still ask and he might still do it because he's a God of mercy. And if he doesn't do it, then he has another plan for you, such as he had with the Apostle Paul. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.